The rent is due on Friday. By Tuesday night, she is sorting envelopes at the kitchen table, moving $30 from groceries to gas, pushing the light bill to next week, hoping the school will forgive one more late pickup. Her pay hits on Thursday. Childcare pulls half. The landlord wants the full amount, late fee included. She calls three numbers on a flyer for help. One is a wait list, one is out of funds. One says try again next month. This is not a rare week. It is the math many single mothers run every pay period. Wages that do not keep pace with rent, childcare that eclipses a second job, and a benefit system that punishes even small raises. The margin is inches wide. One sick day, one flat tire, and the floor gives way. The question is simple and sharp. If she is doing everything right, why can't the numbers ever land on safe? Chapter 1. Setup and Stakes. Friday is 4 days away. Rent lands on Friday. On Monday at 7:10 a.m., she sets two bowls, ties a shoe with one hand, and slides a lunch into a backpack. The bus schedule says 9 minutes. The bus arrives in 13. She will clock in at 8:02 a.m., 2 minutes past grace. Her name is withheld by request. She works front counter at a parts warehouse on the edge of town. Pay is hourly. Health coverage is the basic plan with a deductible she avoids. The shift runs 8 to 4:30 with an unpaid half hour. Overtime is rare. The manager posts schedules on Sunday nights. Childcare opens at 7. School starts at 8:10. The math leaves a narrow lane every morning. At 8:41 a.m., she checks the balance from the break room. Payroll posts on Thursday. After tax, after the automatic phone payment, after last month's electricity spillover, the number should land near $1,220. Rent is $1,050. The late fee is $75. Childcare for the youngest is $280 for the week. She pencils these into a small notebook that lives in her bag. She uses a dull pencil, so the paper will not tear when she erases numbers and tries again. The call that could help has already been made. Three agencies, three outcomes. A waiting list that stretches months. A fund that closed last week. A voicemail that promises callbacks in the order received. She checks twice a day and keeps the phone on loud. She is not alone. Intake workers in this county report full call queues by 10 a.m. on Mondays. Families call from city limits and from the motels along the highway. The voicemail light never rests. At noon, she eats rice from a container and speaks with a co-worker who swapped a shift last month. The co-worker offers to cover Saturday if hours open. Saturday would solve the shortfall, but overtime must be assigned. She asks the manager anyway. The answer is polite and fixed. No hours this weekend. She crosses out a line in the notebook and writes "sell stroller," then draws a box beside it to check later. A brief national frame, plain and simple. In many metro areas, rent has climbed faster than wages over the past few years. In neighborhoods like hers, a two-bedroom can cost more than one-third of monthly income for a single-earner household. Childcare costs often outpace the rent payment in at least 2 months of the year. These facts do not change her Tuesday. They set the weather for it. By late afternoon, the daycare calls. The younger child has a low fever. Pickup must be in 30 minutes. She asks to leave at 4. The manager nods. Time off means time unpaid. She drives a two-lane road with one blinking light and counts three gas bars left on the dash. The clinic near the daycare has a walk-in line. She does not stop. Fever reducers sit at home on the second shelf. At 6:12 p.m., the kitchen table becomes a budget desk. Envelopes line up like small gates. Groceries. Gas. Rent. Childcare. Lights. The pencil moves numbers between them. She can move $20 from groceries to gas. She can push the lights until next week. She can ask her sister to watch the kids on Thursday night and take the late shift if it appears on the board. She cannot make Friday disappear. The eviction process is a timer that starts quietly. In many jurisdictions, a written notice to pay or leave appears first. The notice may allow a handful of days. If payment does not arrive, a filing follows. A court date is set. If judgment is entered, a final notice comes, then a scheduled set out. The length of each step changes by county and state. The stress is constant. She has lived this sequence once before and will do almost anything not to repeat it. Wednesday morning brings a small turn. School adds a half day next week for training. That means a gap in childcare coverage. She calls the school office and asks about a program list. She calls three numbers. One is full. One requires an application with pay stubs and a 2-week review. One offers a single day at a cost that equals 2 tanks of gas. She writes, "Ask neighbor for Friday pickup," and adds another box to check. At lunch, she reads the tenant portal. The rent due line is bright and red. The late fee sits under it. A message from the property office reminds residents that partial payments do not stop fees. She scrolls the message twice. The words do not change. She writes them down anyway, so she will not forget the rule during a call. Work hours run steady through the afternoon. She stacks boxes, checks part numbers, and prints labels that never curl flat. She moves, lifts, scans, and repeats. Standing still is worse. Thinking gets loud when she is idle. She keeps moving. A short scene on context. This city's market has more applicants than units at the low end. Landlords use screening tools that flag late payments and court filings. A single filing can stick to a record and shape future decisions. Even if the tenant later pays, the record can appear in searches and reduce options. This is not an allegation. It is a pattern reported by local housing advocates and confirmed by leasing staff in interviews over the past year. On Wednesday night, she calls the property office. The person who answers is professional. She explains the deposit schedule. Pay hits on Thursday. She can bring the rent on Friday afternoon. She asks that the late fee be waived this once. The answer is not unkind. The system applies the fee automatically. She thanks the person for their time and writes, "Ask again in person beside Friday." The childcare pinch tightens on Thursday morning. The daycare allows a grace period at pickup. The fee for late pickup starts at 5 minutes past the hour. She signs the sheet and sees last week's late fee printed in blue ink beside her signature. She does the math again in her head and decides she will leave work 10 minutes early to avoid it. 10 minutes will save $15 and cost $2 in pay. She chooses the 10 minutes. Pay posts at 9:18 a.m. She does not open the banking app in the aisle. She waits until break and then looks. The number is smaller than her pencil math. The auto draft for the family plan phone bill pulled more than she expected. The company raised the rate last month. She missed the text. This is the benefits cliff in miniature. Not about a raise, but about a system that shifts without notice and takes the slack she thought she had. She sits with the number until the break ends. Transportation is the quiet cost that touches each line. Gas prices move. Tire wear is not scheduled. The bus runs on a pattern that fits school in theory and misses it in practice. She tried a car share last year and returned it when fees stacked up. She now drives a 12-year-old sedan and knows the sound of a belt that will ask for money soon. She adds "listen to belt" to the page and underlines it twice. A small map of risk forms by Thursday afternoon. Box 1 is rent. Box 2 is childcare. Box 3 is food. Box 4 is power. If she pays rent in full on Friday, she can keep the unit and face a tight 7 days after. If she pays part and keeps food steady, she invites a legal letter and a record she cannot shake. The choice is between danger now and danger later. She knows which one keeps a roof over their heads. She chooses danger later and prepares to beg for time. An early evening trip to a pantry adds a bag of shelf goods. The pantry has rules. One visit per month. Proof of address. A number is called. A volunteer slides a box across a table. There is a quiet line of parents and elders. No one smiles much. No one cries. The space between those two acts is its own kind of weight. By 9:03 p.m., the children sleep. She pulls out a folder with documents. Lease. Pay stubs. Daycare receipts. A handwritten letter from last spring when the school counselor confirmed attendance issues linked to the bus. She stacks them in a neat pile and places the pile in a tote bag by the door. If she needs to show proof, she will carry it. If she needs to ask for an extension, she will bring the bag and speak plainly. Friday dawns with a thin gray sky and a choice that was always the same. She drops the children at school and daycare, drives to work, finishes the shift, and walks into the office at 4:41 p.m. She brings the tote bag. She brings the exact amount for rent in an electronic confirmation she can show on the screen. She asks again, face to face, if the late fee can be waived. She uses a steady tone. She mentions the daycare receipts and the phone rate change. She does not tell a story that is not true. She lets the facts sit. The office worker listens. Policy is policy. The fee will stay this time. She nods and thanks them for checking. Then she asks a new question. Is there any internal note the office can add that shows she paid in full, on the due date week, despite the fee? The worker says yes and adds the note. It is a small thing. It lives on a screen that other people see. It may help later. It may not. She accepts the uncertainty. A last scene on the eviction timer, held at bay for now. The payment posts. The file stays clear of a court entry. The fee stings and will echo through next week's bills. The budget will start from a lower point. The car belt still sings. The pantry date is marked on a small calendar by the fridge. The school half day remains unsolved. She texts her neighbor and offers to swap Saturday morning chores for a Friday pickup. The neighbor says yes. The day closes with two children asleep and a parent at the table again. The pencil moves. Numbers shift. Friday did not end the pressure. It delayed the drop. The margin is inches wide. The next failure point could be a fever, a tire, or a schedule change that lands at 7 p.m. on a Sunday when the board updates. The question grows clearer with each small crisis. She is doing everything right that can be done by one person in 1 week. Work on time. Children fed. Bills ranked. Calls returned. Documents ready. The system around her sets the floor and the ceiling. The rent does not wait for pay cycles to sink. Childcare does not price to match entry-level wages. Screening tools do not weigh context. The week ends without an eviction notice, and that counts as a win. Chapter 2. Escalation and reversal. The first reversal arrives with a raise that should feel like progress. Her supervisor calls her into a small office and says the team is adding $1 an hour for employees who pass a new accuracy check. She passed it last week. The raise begins on the next pay cycle. She smiles and thanks him. On the drive home, she calculates the gain across a month. The number is not large, but it is steady. She plans to move it to groceries and gas, so the next rent week is less tight. The benefits letter arrives a week later. The childcare subsidy adjusts when income changes. The letter lists a new parent share that is higher by more than the raise. The aid tapers in a way that takes the new money and more. This is the cliff. Earn a little more and lose support that had been shaving the highest bill after rent. She calls the number on the letter and waits on hold. A worker explains the formula. The worker is kind. The rule is firm. She thanks them and hangs up. A second barrier rises from a different system. The lease renewal date sits on the calendar 3 months away. Renewal triggers a background screen. The office will look at on-time payments, income, and any court filings. She has paid each month since the late fee week. She has no filings. The screening also allows landlords to review old records. A past eviction case from years back remains visible in private databases. The case did not end in a lockout. She paid before the set-out date. The entry still appears in some searches. Leasing staff in this market say the presence of any case can increase the odds of denial. Advocates call it a scarlet E. Leasing companies call it a risk flag. She looks for backup options. The voucher list for housing assistance opened once last year for a few hours and closed after thousands applied. The estimated wait is measured in years. The short-term rental aid program opens and closes with funding. She tries each time she hears a rumor that a window has opened. When she reaches a person, they ask for documents. She keeps a folder ready. If a slot opens, she will be able to deliver proof within a day. The slot does not open this month. To see how families manage the gaps, we spoke with a school social worker who tracks housing status for students. The worker confirms that single-parent households led by mothers show the highest rate of doubled-up living after a job loss or a rent jump. The worker names common triggers. A cut shift. A car failure that makes a job unreachable by bus. A health event that takes hours away. None are dramatic in isolation. The pattern is cumulative. The case study that anchors this chapter stays anonymous. She shared pay stubs, daycare receipts, and messages with names and addresses removed. The documents show three themes. First, income is steady and predictable. Second, expenses have drifted up in small steps over 12 months. Phone, power, groceries, gas. Third, the aid that once buffered childcare fell when pay rose. The change is legal and expected under current rules. The effect is a net loss to the household. The cliff is not only about aid. It is about the way costs rise around the same time that support tapers away. Employer scheduling introduces another set of turns. Her warehouse uses a software system that forecasts volume and posts shifts on Sunday night. Childcare plans need more notice than that. She needs a stable pickup time to dodge late fees. She requests fixed hours and receives partial relief for 2 weeks. Then a staffing shortage rolls through and the schedule resets. She solves each week with favors and swaps. Each favor uses future goodwill. Goodwill is a currency that runs down like gas in a tank. Transportation costs supply the steady drag that never stops. The sedan needs 2 tires and a belt. She prices both and chooses the belt first. A mobile mechanic gives her a quote that fits under the pantry line she drew on a calendar. She agrees to pay in 2 parts. The mechanic installs the belt in a parking lot and writes a receipt. She photographs the receipt in case a relief fund asks for proof of unusual expense. Every program asks for proof. Landlord screening software and human judgment interact in ways that are hard to see. A local property manager explains the process in general terms. Applications are scored across several factors: income level, debt, past filings, credit, job length. Some factors weigh more than others. Some allow overrides. When there is a tight market and many applicants, minor blemishes become decisive. The manager does not call this discrimination. The manager calls it policy. The effect is that single mothers working entry-level jobs land in a weaker position when competing for the same unit. The reversal in this chapter sharpens with a childcare desert map. Her side of the city has fewer licensed slots per child when compared to neighborhoods with higher incomes. The center she uses is full. The second center nearby closed after a staffing shortage. A new center is planned across town, but it opens next year. The commute to that side would add 40 minutes each way and 2 rides on the bus. A longer commute would risk late pickup. Late pickup would trigger fees that cancel any savings. The map dictates options. The options dictate risk. On a Tuesday night, a message appears from the property portal. Renewal will include a rent increase. The number is modest on paper. The real change is larger once the childcare share and transport costs are factored. She runs the notebook math again and sees that a food line she had increased after the raise now has to shrink. The pantry date cannot move. She tries to stretch staples and adds a garden store receipt for seeds she never planted last spring. The yard is small and shaded. She plants herbs in a window box anyway. The box will not bend the budget. It will make the kitchen smell like something she can control. She keeps an eye on legal aid. The city funds a right to counsel for tenants facing eviction filings in some zip codes. Her building falls outside the pilot area. She still calls to ask about general advice. The staff member explains that tenants outside the zone can attend a workshop where they learn the steps in a filing and how to ask for a continuance. She attends on a lunch hour and takes notes. The notes read like a safety manual. Know the timeline. Bring the lease. Bring receipts. Ask for more time. Be respectful. Do not avoid court. Absence becomes judgment. She tucks the notes into the documents folder. The reporting turn arrives through a quiet spreadsheet from a county agency. A staff member provided aggregate data for public use. The numbers show that single-parent households led by women make up a larger share of calls to rent help lines than any other family type. The average requested amount per call has risen each quarter for a year. The top 3 reasons cited are loss of hours, increase in rent, and an unexpected bill that knocked out a month's cushion. Childcare is named directly in a significant share of comments. The pattern matches her week. The macro and the micro speak the same language. There is a moment of hope. A company pilot offers a small transportation stipend for workers who live more than 10 miles from the warehouse. She lives just under that line. She asks the HR office if the program can consider commute time rather than miles. The answer is no. The rule is clear. She thanks the staff member and edits her budget notes again. She adds a new line to the page labeled maybe. The line is empty. We spend an afternoon with a legal aid attorney who has handled many summary ejectment cases. The attorney lists the parts of a file that can help: proof of payment attempts, evidence that a landlord refused partial payment without offering a plan, notes on conditions that were reported and not addressed. None of these erase rent owed. Some can buy time or reduce fees. The attorney repeats a core point. Eviction is not only a legal process. It is a credit event and a screening event. It shapes housing for years. It shapes school stability. It shapes work hours. A single docket entry is not a clean past. It is a shadow cast forward. By early summer, her budget holds only because she accepts a second shift that runs 2 evenings a week at a different site. The hours add money and add risk. Childcare does not cover the evening. She leans on a neighbor she trusts. The neighbor says yes and refuses pay. She packs dinner for the neighbor and the neighbor's child as thanks. This is not a program. This is social capital. It has rules that are not written. Always return the favor. Never let the balance feel uneven. Speak gratitude often. Then the cliff cuts again. The second shift plus the raise nudge her just over a threshold for food assistance. A letter arrives. The benefit will end next month. She calls to ask about transitional help. The worker explains the options. There are limited slots for step-down support. She applies and waits. The letter that arrives later is a denial due to funds. She adds a new store to her grocery loop that sells day-old bread and produce close to the date. She learns the timing of markdowns the way a driver learns the timing of green lights on an empty road. The reporting side collects one more piece of data. A transit survey shows that workers who travel by bus to childcare and then to work add 20 to 40 minutes to each direction in many cases. The bus lines were designed for direct trips to downtown. Warehouses have grown near highway edges where routes are thin. She lives the gap between lines. She maps a path that uses 2 buses in the morning and a ride from a coworker at night when service thins. Any small delay creates a chain that ends in a Fiat pickup. As the renewal date approaches, she visits the property office with her folder. She asks whether any internal note about on-time payments since winter can offset the old record that screening might pull. The staff member says the system is automated, but they can attach a resident history letter. She requests the letter and receives it the next day. It states that she has paid in full each month for the past 6 months, and that no lease violations are on file. She places the letter on top of the stack. It is 1 page of context against a search result that knows no context at all. By the end of this chapter, the escalation is clear. Raises interact with benefits in ways that reduce net resources. Childcare scarcity forces trade-offs that echo in late fees and lost hours. Landlord screening and tight markets turn a single past filing into a present barrier. Transportation extends every day and adds cost to every decision. Each system acts as designed. Together they produce a trap that looks like a set of reasonable rules. She sits at the kitchen table again with the dull pencil and the lined notebook. The window box herbs have sprouted. The leaves smell clean and green when she rubs them between her fingers. She writes a new list on a fresh page. Ask school about sliding scale aftercare. Confirm pantry date. Call legal aid about the workshop schedule. Follow up on the transportation stipend. Check community action list for one-time utility help. None of these are miracles. They are small wedges that might pry the door open a fraction. Chapter 3. Resolution and aftermath. What turns a cliff into a ramp is never one tool. It is a bundle used in order, with timing that matches the calendar of bills and school. The goal is simple to state. Keep the roof. Stabilize childcare. Lock transport. Smooth the benefit slope, so a raise becomes real. The method uses programs that exist, rules that can flex, and low-cost habits that hold the gains. The first lever is prevention. Cities that fund early rent help keep families housed at lower cost than court-based aid. The process works best when screening is fast, the required proof is short, and payments move directly to landlords. A short list of documents should open the door. Lease. Photo ID. Proof of income. Proof of hardship. A simple budget. When prevention dollars are available by phone or portal in the first 3 days of the month, evictions fall. When dollars wait for a court date, costs rise and records follow the family. She learns this and adjusts her routine. On the first sign of a shortfall, she calls the prevention line before late fees appear. She keeps the documents in a folder by the door and a scanned copy on her phone. The second lever is counsel. Write to counsel in eviction court changes outcomes in 2 ways. It buys time through agreed continuances and payment plans. It catches errors in filings and ledgers. Having a lawyer does not create rent money. It creates a fair process and a path to catch up. Where full counsel is not funded, workshops and clinics still help. Scripts matter. Write down the lines that count. I have proof of payment attempts. I request a short continuance to secure third-party aid. I ask that fees be limited to actual costs. Practice saying them in a calm voice. Bring the folder. Bring copies. The third lever is childcare that flexes. A subsidy is powerful only if a slot exists at hours that match work. Communities that map childcare deserts and fund new slots near job centers reduce late fees and lost hours. Extended pickup windows matter as much as the base rate. She cannot move the city map by herself. She can use the tools that exist. Ask the center to sign a release so a neighbor can pick up without penalty. Ask for a written grace period plan. Ask about sliding scale for half days and school breaks. If a center closes a room due to staffing, ask for a letter you can show your employer to request temporary schedule stability. These small papers become shields. The fourth lever is income smoothing. Benefits cliffs are real. They can be softened by phase-outs that fall more gently and by calculators that show true net change before a raise is accepted. Where policy allows, transition months keep families from free fall. At the household level, she uses a rolling budget that treats raises as temporary until a full month of expenses reflects the change. She sets a simple rule. For the next two pay cycles, move only half of any raise into spending. Hold the other half in a separate envelope labeled buffer. When a letter arrives adjusting the subsidy, she has 2 weeks of cushion to adapt. The buffer is small. It is enough to avoid a late fee that would have cost the same amount. The fifth lever is transport that does not break the day. Bus passes funded by employers or local programs return time and reduce risk. A car kept roadworthy through low-cost repairs avoids a cascade of missed hours. She writes the schedule on paper and places it on the fridge. Out the door at 6:50 a.m. bus at 7:03. Childcare door at 7:20. Work door at 7:55. A second line sits under it. Backup route when the first bus is missed. The paper is a plan and a reminder. She asks two coworkers about carpooling one morning a week. They say yes and trade weeks. Small redundancy lowers the chance of a late pickup fee that erases the savings of cheap gas. The sixth lever is screening reform paired with mitigation funds. Landlords say risk matters. Tenants say context matters. Programs that cover part of the loss when a high-risk tenant is approved make both sides say yes. Policies that seal old cases that did not end in lockouts reduce the Scarlet E effect. She cannot write a statute. She can add context to her file now. She requests the resident history letter that shows 6 clean months. She saves proof that she offered to pay and did pay. She keeps workplace letters that confirm steady hours. When screening runs, her file contains more than a number on a credit pull. It contains a story told in documents, not emotion. There are pieces that work today within the rules as written. A school liaison can place a flag that stabilizes a child's bus route so a parent can make pickup times. A doctor's office can write a standard letter to excuse a missed shift without risking job loss. A pantry can allow a swap to align with a parent's workday. None of these change rent. All reduce friction that wastes dollars. Now comes the household action plan, compact and direct. Week 1. Build the folder. Lease and addendum. Pay stubs for the last 2 months. Childcare statements. Receipts for past late fees. Letters from work that verify schedule. A one-page budget that lists income on the left and fixed bills on the right with dates. Put a copy of a photo ID in the back. Scan it all and keep it in a cloud folder with simple names. Title each file with the date. Week 2. Map the month. Write each due date on a wall calendar. Mark the following in a different color. Rent grace period end. Childcare billing day. Utility cutoff dates if posted. Pantry day. Court dates if any. School half days. Put a dot on the 2 days that allow a tiny surplus. That is where you move small amounts to the buffer envelope. Week 3. Pre-negotiate. Speak to the landlord office before the due date if you see a gap. Ask if a one-time fee waiver is available for residents with 6 months of on-time payments. If the answer is no, ask for an internal note that records that you paid in full and on time this month. Ask the daycare for a copy of the late fee policy and for 2 emergency pickup contacts on file. Ask your manager to post schedules by Friday when possible. Document the ask and the answer. Week 4. Apply in parallel. If rent help lines open on Monday at 9 a.m., call at 8:59 and place your information. If a church fund or community action office has walk-in hours, go with the folder the same day. If a legal clinic offers a session, attend and take notes. Do not wait for one answer to arrive before starting another. Multiple small sources often close a single gap. Daily habit. Tighten the cash leaks you can control without adding time. Pack 2 days of lunches at once. Buy staples where the unit price is lowest and mark the receipt so you know the real weekly cost. Track late fees in a small box on the budget page. The goal is to make that box say 0 3 months in a row. That is your signal that the ramp is holding. There are policy steps that would move the ground under many families at once. Smoother benefit phase-outs tied to local cost of care. Childcare expansion near job centers with extended pickup. Sealing of eviction cases that did not end in lockouts after a set period. Short, automatic extensions for first-time late rent with proof of payment pending. Employer scheduling notice set at 2 weeks for workers with school-age children or children in care. Transit routes aligned to warehouse belts. None of these are experiments in theory. Versions exist now in scattered places. Where they run together, the numbers improve. Where they do not, a raise still snaps a support beam and a family falls. Back at the kitchen table, she tests the bundle on her own month. The folder is built. The calendar is marked. She has two coworkers on a carpool text thread. The school flagged a consistent bus drop. The pantry date is set on the second Wednesday. The daycare added her neighbor to the pickup list. The landlord office placed a note on her file. She used a prevention grant once to avoid slipping into fees after a flu week. She attended the clinic and learned how to ask for time in case a filing ever appears. She kept the buffer at one small envelope that holds a single week of gas and one grocery run. It took months to save it. It is not for daily use. It is a guardrail. The raise now looks like a raise. The taper on the childcare bill still hurts, but the household did not tip because the other lines held steady. She does not call this thriving. She calls it steady ground. Steady is the condition that allows growth to begin. She takes the second shift only one night a week now and uses that money to replace a tire before the belt noise returns. The window box herbs grew into a small pot of mint and a row of chives. The kitchen smells like the work she can touch. What is known is clear. Early rent help, counsel, flexible childcare, transport stability, and sane screening rules reduce eviction risk and calm budgets. What is unknown is how quickly a city chooses to align them at scale. What is known at the house level is also clear. A folder of proof, a mapped month, pre-negotiated rules, parallel applications, and a small buffer create time. Time turns panic into planning. Planning creates small wins that stack. The aftermath of this story is not a ribbon cut. It is a month that ends without a fee. It is a school half day that did not trigger a crisis. It is a raise that stayed in the grocery line instead of being erased by a formula she did not write. It is a renewal that clears because context travels with the application for once. It is a calendar that does not feel like a trap. She closes the notebook on a Friday night and watches her children sleep. The rent posted on time. The pantry box is lighter because the fridge is not. The neighbor waved at pickup. The car starts without a new sound. The dollar in her pocket at the end of the week is not a miracle. It is proof that the ramp is real.